how important is a name and how important is it to God? We're going to start with Exodus chapter 20. We've been going through the Ten Commandments on this part of our series of Here We Still Stand, affirming the basics, the foundations of our faith, and we've been going through the Ten Commandments, as was mentioned earlier, and so let us just review the first few commandments here. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, I read in Jesus' name, "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me.'" Skip down to verse 7. "And you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." These are the first three commandments. They teach us to love God, to love God. So let's commit this to the Lord. Allow the Lord to teach us from his word this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be our teacher this morning through your Spirit. Even as Jesus told us that the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. So would you do that this morning and be our teacher through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As we mentioned to the children, names are important. God knows your name, and it is significant because he wants to have that personal relationship with you. I mentioned that I have six daughters. I don't always get their names right. And you know what? I think even though they forgive me, even though they say, yeah, you know, Dad just gets our names all mixed up, I think at the core of their heart, they're really hurt. Because if you don't get the name right, you don't get the relationship right. Names and calling someone by their name in Scripture is part and parcel of a relationship. If we don't get the name right, we have the relationship wrong. In Exodus chapter 33, and this is going to be our main verse today, and then we're going to look in the New Testament at Philippians chapter 2. But in Exodus chapter 33, I'm going to begin at verse 17. Verse 17. Listen to this. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know your name.'" God knows Moses' name, which means because I have this relationship with you, and in that relationship you have pleased me because Moses has sought the Lord. It doesn't mean Moses did everything right. It doesn't mean Moses, you know, got a 98% on the performance scale. But Moses had a heart for God, and that pleased God. And God says, I'm doing these things because I know you. I have this relationship with you. And so Moses gets bold and asks one more thing. He'd already granted the previous request, and we're not going to get into all that. And Moses asks one more thing. "Now show me your glory. Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. And I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live." Let's drop down to chapter 34, Exodus 34, and verse 5. Exodus 34, 5. "And then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him, and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness.'" Abounding in love and faithfulness. So what's in a name? What does God's name reveal about himself and his character? God's name describes who God is. God is our creator and is the judge of the world. God is called the Holy One, and he is called God our provider and God our healer. He is called Lord. Pastor and author Timothy Keller writes this, gives us an insight into how to understand the name of God is in Scripture. He says, for us, the term name may be just a label or a brand that can be discarded or changed at will. But in biblical times, it denoted the very nature and being of a person. God's name is the revelation of Himself. It reveals the character and attributes of God. But in the Bible, the name of God is also synonymous with God Himself. And so when we say, praise His glorious name, we are praising the very character and nature of God. And the title of this message is Praise His Glorious Name, Praise God's Glorious Name. And it comes from Psalm 72, verse 19, where it says, praise to His glorious name. The whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. God's name is the same as His glory and as His character. When we talk about God's name or use God's name, it's meant to be using it to exalt and to see the whole earth be filled with His glory. And so when we misuse God's name, and we'll get to that, when we misuse God's name or use it in any just careless way, we're disrespecting who God is. His name is synonymous with His essence, with His being, with His character, with His attributes. And so you might think, well, why is God so hung up on His name? All right, He's a big guy. Why does He get so upset over such a little thing as your name? Let's think about this. Businesses today spend millions of dollars a year protecting the name of their business and their products. They spend millions protecting their name of their business and their products. What is this? Say it again. A Kleenex box, okay? Are you sure it's Kleenex? Now, Kleenex is not just any facial tissue, right? It is the trademark brand of the Kimberly-Clark Corporation, and they spend millions of dollars a year protecting the name of their brand to make sure that people don't just take any old tissue and call it a Kleenex. Oh, we do, don't we? But it's important to them because they have got a certain market share based just on their name. In fact, one survey said 3 decades ago, as much as 95% of the average corporation's value consisted of tangible assets. I mean, their buildings, their stores, their machinery. According to a report by Thomson Reuters and Interbrand, it says today 75% of that average corporation's value is based on intangibles. Okay, let's break that down. In other words, a business's most valuable asset is its good name, its brand, and its reputation. In a recent survey, 3/5 of chief executives said that they believed corporate brand and reputation represented more than 40% of their company's market capitalization. What does that mean? It means 40% of the value of their company based on their stock price and their outstanding shares. 40%, they say, is due to their name recognition, to their name brand and its reputation. 40% of its value, millions of dollars, they consider their name that valuable. And if worldly corporations' name is so important, and they'll spend millions of dollars defending it, and millions of dollars correcting people who misuse it, how much more will God, whose name is glorious, how much more should we respect the name of God and use it correctly? If you're a journalist and you talk about a Kleenex and they took a Kleenex and wiped their nose and you don't put it in capital letters, you might get a letter from the Kimberly-Clark Corporation saying, use our name right. It's a Kleenex brand. Right? Not just any old tissue. They're jealous for their name, and God is jealous for His name. God is jealous because it denotes who He is. It's important to Him. So let's take a look at what does God reveal. First of all, when God reveals His name, it expresses His sovereignty. You know, back in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, the first time that Moses was told God's name. And here it's represented as the word Lord. And if you, in your NIV or other translations, if you see in the Old Testament the name Lord, and it's in big and small caps, it's all caps, large and small caps, that is God's special name, which could be translated Yahweh or Jehovah. It is God's special name. And the Jewish people had such an honor for God's name, they didn't want to mispronounce it or missay it so that they would never pronounce it. And that's why in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, they use this word Lord. And but it is God's special name. So when you just a note there. And so what does Moses do? Moses says, show me your glory. And it seems amazing to me because Moses had already seen all these glorious things that God had already done. The 10 plagues which freed the Jews from the Israelites from Egypt, parting the Red Sea, manna in the desert. He's come down upon the mountain in fiery clouds at Mount Sinai. He's seen all these glorious things and he still says, show me your glory. He wanted to know God's essence. And the reason he wanted to know is because he was making some big requests of God. He really wanted to know if God was really as forgiving and loving as he had revealed himself to be. He wanted to see that glory. And so what does God do? He says, back in Exodus 3:14, when he first revealed his name, he said, well, tell me what your name is. And God says, I am who I am, which means God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants, and when he wants it, and he will. And here he says the same thing in Exodus 33:19. Instead of saying, I am who I am, he says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Meaning, nobody deserves his grace. Nobody deserves his forgiveness. He just gives it because he is good. And so, first of all, God is sovereign. His name tells us that he's sovereign. He isn't accountable to anybody. He can do whatever he wants and he will. But God's name also reflects his glory. And he says, Moses says, show me your glory. And what does God do? He gives them his name. Show me your glory. And God says, I will tell you my name. Because my name itself is glorious. It's synonymous with his glory. And so God is sovereign. He is glorious. And then in Exodus 33:19, it tells us that God is good. God is good. It says, and the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name. I will cause all my goodness. That's the glory of God, his goodness. God is good, and when we proclaim his name, we're saying he is good, and we've experienced his goodness. But it goes on and makes it better. God is also not just good, he's gracious. He's gracious, and it says, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, that is Yahweh or Jehovah, and I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And then drop down to Exodus 34:5-7. It says, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord, which is, again, caps and lower caps, means Yahweh, Jehovah. It's his proper name. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord. And whenever you repeat something in Hebrew, it's like for emphasis. That means this is perfection. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That's who God is. God is sovereign. He is glorious. He is good. He is gracious and merciful and loving. And God wants us to respond to the proclamation of his name because his name reveals who he is. And when it comes right down to it, Moses says, show me your essence. Show me exactly who you are. And God says, this is who I am. I am the God who is good and is gracious and merciful and loving and forgiving. That's the God of the Old Testament. Sometimes we like to think the Old Testament is a God. He's kind of hateful and vengeful. And no, God, all the way through Scripture, is a God who is loving and merciful and gracious. He hates sin because of what it does to sinners. He hates sin because he knows how destructive it is. And he will punish sin in order to bring people to to a proper relationship with Him. Remember, a name denotes not only God's glory and goodness and mercy, His character and His attributes. A name also is the basis of a relationship. And that's what God wants with us, a relationship. And so in Jesus Christ, we can have that relationship with God. In John 1:12, it says, to all who received Him, to all who believed in His name, that is the name of Jesus, He gave the right to become the children of God, that relationship. In Acts 4:12, it says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. What name? The name of Jesus. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 10, Philippians chapter 2, it says, you know, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. Why? Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found as in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Why is that important? Because that's what it takes. That's what it took for God to make a relationship with us, to bring us into a loving relationship that we can know Him, not just as sovereign God, but to know His goodness and His love and His mercy and His forgiveness. It is through Jesus Christ that we experience the name of God in its most glorious aspect. And what does God do? Okay? So Jesus came to establish this relationship so that we could call God by name. And God knows our name. He wants that relationship. And He wants us to use His name, not trivially, not, today, what's a misuse of God's name today? You'll see kids texting this all the time. OMG, right? Oh my God. Now, you're really talking to God? In the Psalms, about seven places in the Psalms, it says, oh my God. And it's filled with praise. And if you use, oh my God, to say, we thank You, we praise You, you can go through the Psalms and find that again and again, Psalm 40, Psalm 22. And so every time you just kind of flippantly say, oh my God, or OMG, say, oh yeah. Make it a reminder to praise this glorious God who humbled Himself and came into this world as a human being, died on a cross for us to show us how important His name really is. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The name itself is synonymous with His character, and His character is one of love and goodness and mercy and forgiveness. And how does it all end? Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place because He did this for us. God exalted Him. God the Father exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. What's that name? The name in the Old Testament was Yahweh, Jehovah. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Old Testament, Lord, meant Jehovah, Yahweh. The one true, mighty God. God says, give Him that name to the glory of God the Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, meaning those who use Jesus Christ as a swear word on this earth will one day have to acknowledge with their knee bowed, their tongue confessing, oh, this one whom I blasphemed on this earth, who misused His name, who ridiculed the name of Jesus, will one day bow in submission because He will be revealed as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And no matter if they still were blaspheming in their heart, they still could do nothing but kneel before Him, even as they receive their condemnation. It's an awful thing. It's a glorious thing. Because God's name is glorious and we should give Him the honor due Him right now. His name is important to Him. It's because He wants us to have a relationship. When we misuse His name, we abuse the relationship. when we use his name properly to call upon him in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving, we're drawing closer in a relationship that he wants to have with each one of us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, my words have been weak and feeble today, but your word is glorious, as is your name. Lord, help us to understand how important your name is to you, because it reflects, it is synonymous with who you are, and who you are, a gracious and merciful God. Yes, by no means will hold the guilty. You won't hold them blameless. But Father, what this text means is that everyone who responds to your grace by the help of your Holy Spirit, you are merciful to. Oh Lord, may we come to you today. And Father, if there's anyone here today that's never bent the knee, who has never with the mouth declared Jesus is Lord, may they do that. For your word tells us that if we say with our mouth, declare with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that you raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And so, Father, if there's anyone who's not cried out to Jesus today, we pray that today would be this day, that they would say, Jesus is Lord, and believe in their heart that you raised him from the dead, and so have salvation in Jesus Christ. And Father, for all of us, may we praise your glorious name forever, that the whole earth would be filled with your glory, because we're filling it with the glory of your name as we give you honor and praise and the respect that you're due. In Jesus' name, amen.